What an exciting day it is as we celebrate the day of Pentecost, the day that the church was birthed, the day that the Spirit of the Lord was poured out upon the world. I was standing up here a moment ago just thinking for a few moments, and it crossed my mind. And you think about this. Jesus came to this earth. He was here 33 and a half short years as we understand it. But when Jesus went away, he told them to go into Jerusalem. He said to tarry there until they be what? Until they be endued with power from on high. And in the moment that the Spirit of God came upon this earth, do you realize and understand that from that moment until now, until Jesus Christ returns in the clouds of glory, the Holy Spirit has been among us. Now, we've used the term for 2,000 years over and over and over, and I've heard them say he's kind of 2,000 years ever since I was a little boy, and I'm standing here 54, so it's a lot more than 2,000 now. But the Holy Spirit has been here in operation. And today we celebrate, we honor the day that the Spirit of God came. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through verse 4, the Passion Translation says it this way. Now, this is not what I'm going to preach today, but I want to share something with you from my heart just for a moment before we get to the Word of God this morning. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, Passion Translation said, on the day of Pentecost was being fulfilled, all the disciples were gathered in one place. Suddenly they heard the sound of a violent blast of wind rushing into the house from out of the heavenly realm. The roar of the wind was so overpowering, it was all anyone could bear. Then all at once a pillar of fire appeared before their eyes. It separated into tongues of fire that engulfed each one of them. They were all filled and equipped with the Holy Spirit and were inspired to speak in tongues, empowered by the Spirit to speak in languages they had never learned. The day of Pentecost was a day that literally of Christianity. As I made mention a moment ago, it was the birth of the church. And it was on that day that the Spirit of God came to this earth and began operation that would lead and guide and direct the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls around the world to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And when the Spirit of God came from that point, it was then that the church could now exhibit the life and miracles of Jesus Christ to the rest of the world. And I want to just tell you, Pentecost was a day like no other day. It was not a usual day. It was not a usual moment. It was very unique. Three manifestations took place on that day, and I want you to hear them. A sound like the blowing of a violent wind came through an upper room. And when it came through the upper room, it began to change who they were. Sight of tongues of fire was seen and fell upon them. And prophetic utterance, as they spoke with tongues, they began to declare the wonders of God. As they spoke with tongues, they did not understand, but yet they were revealing the wonders of the Lord. Pentecost was not a one-time event. I want everyone in this room to listen to me and hear me very well. Pentecost was not a one-time event, but it was the beginning of an outpouring that has never stopped. It was the beginning of an outpouring that has never stopped, has never ended. And I want you to understand something. The wind that came on that day, the fire that came on that day, the tongues that fell upon them that day and began to come through them, and as they began to utter the words of the Lord, it symbolized that a new era was beginning. A new time was beginning. Oh, it was the birth of the church, yes, but a revival began that day that has never ended, that has never stopped. It doesn't matter what attacks have come, what battles have come, and what has happened in our world around us. There was a revival revival that began in that moment that has never ended. And I want you to hear me. It was a new era which will continue until the second coming of Jesus Christ. When Jesus comes back to receive his bride unto himself, we're going up to be with him. And at that moment, the Spirit of God will go up with us as well. But I declare to you this moment that the Spirit of the Lord is in this place, and he's here today to change your life, to change your world. It was the beginning of an outpouring that is still flowing in this moment. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like to ask you to stand with me. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 1 through verse 7. I want to read from the Good News Translation this morning. And I want you to hear this word. God wants to speak to us today. You must listen intently. But not just hear, receive. And as you receive, allow the Word of God to change who you are. One day, the group of prophets that Elisha was in charge of complained to him. The place where we live is too small. Give us permission to go to the Jordan and cut down some trees so that we can build a place to live. All right, Elisha answered. One of them urged him to go with them. He agreed, and they set out together. When they arrived at the Jordan, they began to work. As one of them were cutting down a tree, suddenly his iron axe head fell into the water. "What shall I do, sir?" he exclaimed to Elisha. "It was a borrowed axe." "Where did it fall?" Elisha asked. The man showed him the place, and Elisha cut off a stick, threw it in the water, and made the axe head float. "Take it out," he ordered. And the man reached down and picked it up. I want to share with you after a word of prayer this morning on this thought. I want it back. I want it back. Father, I ask you now that you would allow the anointing of your Holy Spirit to flow in this room today. God, that you would allow me to preach this word as you have birthed it in my heart. But I pray, Father God, that you would speak into every life. And Lord, let this word take root in us, that it will change and it will transform who we are. And Lord, that we will make a declaration in our heart and in our spirit that we're going to get back what is rightfully ours. Not something the enemy has taken away, but something we have willingly laid down. And I pray, Father, that when this service comes to a conclusion, that we will leave here this morning with everything that's rightfully ours. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. I want it back. I want you to think about that statement this morning as we bring the word of the Lord unto you today. But I want to begin by sharing this with you. How many has ever eaten something that you really like, something that you love, something that was very special to you? Maybe it was something that your mama made. Maybe it was something that your grandmother made. And then at some point in time, you were in another place and you ate the same thing, but something tasted different. And you realized and you understood that your taste buds was trying to take you back to what mama made, but it did not quite taste right. Why would that be? Because there was something missing. You can still eat it, but it leaves you disappointed. You can still eat it, but it lets you down. Your taste buds were ready for a party, but they got set up for a funeral. You ever been there? You see, everybody can't make banana pudding right. And the way they used to make banana pudding when I was growing up, they put that stuff on the top that we call calf slobber. Anybody know what I'm talking about? When they would take the cream and they would take a little, they would heat it up and it would turn brown. Boy, just how wonderful it was. But then when you eat that kind of banana pudding and then you go eat a processed banana pudding, they don't taste the same. Well, I want to take you from that to this morning into the spiritual realm, and I want us to look at something very closely. If you've never tasted the real thing, if you've never tasted the very best, then you can be satisfied with a substitute. You can be satisfied with an imitation. Amen? If you've never tasted what's really good and you don't know what is the very best, then you might be tricked into believing that something is good. But once you have tasted the authentic, once you have tasted the real thing, once you have tasted what is really real, you will not settle for an imitation. You will not settle for something that's not good. Why? Because you know immediately that something's missing. But the truth is, and I want to say this to you, if you stay with the imitation, the substitute, long enough, you will get used to it. If you stay with it long enough, then you come to the place that you get a taste for it and you begin to like the substitute. But I want to remind you of something. When you are exposed to the authentic again, then you begin to recognize that something is missing. We're living in a time in the church world now when many have tasted the authentic. Many have tasted the real. They've tasted and they know what is the very best, but somehow they've gotten away and they've settled for an imitation. They've settled for something that's not as good. But yet I want to say this to you. If they ever get another taste of what is authentic, they will realize that something is missing and something inside of them will long for the real once again. And that's my prayer in my heart this morning, that God will bring the church as a whole back to the place where we walk in the real and we receive the real and we have the power and we have the anointing and we have the authority of God once again. Not an imitation, but what is really real. Now I want to speak to every person in this room this morning. But I specifically want to talk to everyone who has something missing in your life. If there's something missing in your relationship with God, if there's something missing in your walk, I want to talk about what is missing today. In our text, there was a young prophet who had borrowed an axe. He was working with the axe, and when the axe head fell off, he's swinging, he's working, he's laboring, and the axe head falls off into the water, and the Bible said it sinks to the bottom. And I want you to notice something. The young prophet immediately recognized that something was missing. He recognized that his work was ineffective, and he could have just kept going through the motions. But yet he made a decision that I'm not going to work without the axe head. I'm not going to go further without the axe head. And you're probably saying to yourself, of course he recognized the axe head was gone and it would be foolish to continue to labor on. It would be foolish or it would be wrong to keep swinging the axe handle. But can I just tell you how often that's happening in the day we live? Many people are swinging the axe handle, but there's no axe head. They're swinging away, but nothing's happening. They're laboring, but nothing's taking place. They're doing what they know to do, but nothing is happening. I want to take you back to something. The axe head on that handle, it symbolized the anointing that makes our work effective and productive and produces supernatural output in the presence of God. That axe head represented the anointing. And I want to say this to you, it is the anointing that makes the difference. I preached here about a month ago to this church. You have a king's anointing. Well, I want to kind of flow off of that this morning, and I want to take you even further today. This young prophet immediately quit. He quit trying to accomplish the work in his own ability and his own strength because he knew it was ineffective. But I want you to notice what he said to Elisha, and it's very interesting. He said, "It was borrowed." He made it very clear, I want the axe head back, he said, because I need to do the work, but more so than that, it was borrowed. It does not belong to me. I want everybody in this room to hear me. In other words, we do not own it. When it comes to you and I, we're laboring in the kingdom of God. But many times what we're laboring with, we do not own it. It's a gift. It's not ours. It belongs to another. It is the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God that God puts in our heart and God puts in our life and God allows to come alive in our spirit. And I just want to stop and say this while I'm here. We do not own the Holy Spirit. He owns us. Amen? We do not control the Holy Spirit. He controls us. And this young prophet, or can I just say it this way, the Spirit of God, he puts his trust in us with his anointing so that we will do the work he's called us to. Jesus understood the need of this anointing. Jesus understood the need of the outpouring of the Spirit of God. For in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he said, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that the captives will be released, the blind will see, and the oppressed will be set free. I want to read those last three things again because I think it's very important. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, and the oppressed will be set free. Can I tell you that wasn't just for the moment in time when it was written in the Word of God, but it is still just as real in the year 2021 as it has ever been, which tells me if you have been bound, you will be loosed. If you've been blind, you will see. If you have been oppressed, he will set you free. You just have to allow him to do his work in you. Now let's go back to that word, the anointing. The anointing is the touch of God upon a thing or upon a person that produces supernatural results. When the anointing gets upon a person, they can do supernatural things under his anointing they've never done before. If the anointing gets upon a thing, something supernatural can come forth from it as if never before. Why? The anointing of God's Holy Spirit. It's the only power that can deliver. It is the only power that can heal. It is the only power that can produce miracles. I want to say this, and it'll be very clear here. If the Holy Spirit is not welcome, there will be no miracle. If the Holy Spirit is not welcome, there will be no miraculous results. If the Holy Spirit is not in the room, nothing powerful can happen. And I want to share this with you, but I want you to hear it close. One of the greatest tragedies of the modern day church is we have lost the ability, listen to me, we've lost the ability to discern when the anointing is present and when the anointing is absent. I've seen two or three shake their head. We've lost the ability to recognize when the anointing is present, and we've lost the ability to recognize when it is absent. We have, listen, we may have the very, and I'm just going to say it like this, we can have the very best of talent, we can be very gifted, we can be really good at what we do, but we must have God's anointing. No matter how talented we are, we got to have the anointing. No matter how gifted we are, we got to have the anointing. No matter how good we are at what we do, we must have the anointing. Why? Because Jesus tells us in his own words, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me. He said, he has anointed me. And what Jesus was actually saying was, the works you see me do, I'm doing it through the anointing and the authority and the power of the Holy Spirit that God has placed in my life. Then in Acts 10:38, and you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. What was it saying? Everything Jesus did, it was because the anointing of God was upon his life. Every miracle, every healing, every deliverance was accomplished by the power that came through the authority and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And I want to make this very clear. Although Jesus was born the Son of God from his birth, he never did one miracle or any supernatural thing until after he was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power. And we need to make that very clear this morning. We need to understand that. He was the of God before he ever came to this earth. And when he was born as a little baby in a fleshly body, he was still the Son of God. But he never worked one miracle. He never did one powerful thing until the anointing of the Holy Spirit came upon him. And I want every person to hear this. Let me make it very clear. If Jesus needed the anointing of the Holy Spirit, how desperately we need the anointing of the Holy Spirit in us in this late hour. How desperately we need the authority of God's Holy Spirit. How desperately we need him working in us. In Isaiah 10:27, and it shall come to pass in that day. Listen. That his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. The yoke shall be destroyed not because of who we are, not because of what we can do, but it's because of the anointing of God that is upon our life. The yoke is destroyed by the anointing. Nothing less than the anointing can destroy the works of the devil. Amen? Amen? I want to say that again. Nothing less than the anointing can destroy the works of the devil. Let me just stop and tell you, if you are the anointed of God and you are walking in the anointing of God, stop letting the enemy drag you around by the nose. What are you saying, Pastor? If you are the anointed of God, stand up in the authority of the Lord and put the enemy in his rightful place. The Bible said his place is underneath your feet. And when you take the authority you've been given by God, the enemy has no place in your life. Amen? Nothing less than the anointing can bring conviction of sin upon us. The only way a man, woman, boy, or girl can come to the saving grace of Jesus Christ, they have to be convicted by the power of the Holy Spirit. They have to be drawn by the power of the Holy Spirit. They have to be drawn. I feel the Lord in this room. So the only thing that can bring that convicting power is the Holy Spirit. Nothing or the anointing, nothing less than the anointing can heal the wounded soul. And everybody has to understand, this young prophet immediately recognized something was missing. He recognized that what used to work and what was really going well, it's gone now. How many people have one time walked in the anointing and the authority of God, and they operated in the presence of the Lord, and they saw mighty things of God happening, but they're not happening anymore. But too often they do not recognize what's happened. But God sent me by to say to this church today, we got to recognize if things are not happening like they used to happen, if we're not seeing the power of God like we used to see, if we're not walking in the authority we used to walk in, we need to go back and check out what's happening. The anointing makes the difference. This young prophet immediately recognized something is missing. He said, there's no power, there's no fire, there's no unction. There is no edge left anymore. I'm swinging, but nothing is happening. I believe this should be the motto and the requirement of every church in this last hour. And it is this, that God, the God that answers by fire, let him be God. The God that answers by fire, let him be God. What are you saying? We've got to have the fire and the unction of the Holy Spirit in the church today. We've got to have the authority of God's Holy Spirit operating in us today. Listen, we've got to have the God that answers by fire. In other words, we are not going to accept anything that does not carry the fire of God. We don't want anything unless heaven testifies to it. So many today, listen to me, so many today are looking for churches with the most people. They are judging everything by what is popular, by what's most attractive, or what's most socially accepted, and what everybody's doing, what is cutting edge, and what is marketable. That's what many people are looking for when they're searching out churches. But popularity has never been the mark or the distinguishing factor of that which is of God. Amen? It's never been the distinguishing factor of that which is of God. What are you saying? It is the anointing that bears witness of that which is born of heaven. It is the anointing that bears witness of that which is of God. Whether it's in a church building or it's in an arena filled with thousands of people, the one distinguishing thing that identifies that God is in the midst and that God is in control is the anointing of God upon the place and the anointing of God upon the people. Give the Lord a hand in here. When the anointing of God is in the house, it changes everything. When the anointing of God is in the house, everything becomes different. If the anointing is there, heaven will invade the house. I said, if the anointing is there, heaven will invade the house. What does that mean? Miracles will happen. Bondages will be broken. The sick will be healed. Lives will be changed forever. That's what it said a while ago. Remember what Jesus said? He said, blind eyes will be opened. Oppressed will be released. So let me just stop and tell you, when the anointing of God is in the house, heaven will come. And when heaven comes, healings will happen. Not maybe so, they will happen. Miracles will take place. Many have replaced the fire of God on the altar with charisma and excitement. I know what I'm saying to you this morning is not popular and we don't like to hear, but you've got to hear me out this morning. Many have replaced the fire of God on the altar, the anointing of God in the house, with charisma and excitement. But I must remind you what 2 Corinthians 3:17 said. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. What's he saying? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, that's when freedom comes. When the Spirit of the Lord is, that's when lives are changed. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, that's what makes the difference. He's the one. We're not the ones. He's the one. Not just excitement, but liberty and freedom. So we can justifiably say, where the anointing is, there is liberty. Where the anointing is, there is liberty. And I'm glad to declare to you this morning, I'm not trying to lift up our church, but what I want to say to you is this. I'm glad to tell you this morning that we are in a place where the liberty of God is. Why? Because the anointing of God is here. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The anointing is the liberating power of God. Look over at your neighbor and say that with me. The anointing is the liberating power of God. Now look at him and say, are you anointed? I almost took that feather, but I'm going to leave it right there. Are you anointed? Listen to me. The anointing liberates the mind. It liberates the emotions, the brokenhearted. It liberates the homosexual. It liberates the drug addict. The anointing liberates from anger, from resentment, from jealousy, from unforgiveness, from lust, from pornography. The anointing liberates from captivity, from sickness, from disease, from religion. The anointing liberates from religion, and you heard me correctly. Because we don't need religion, we need relationship. Amen? We don't need religion, we need relationship. We need to walk with God. We need a relationship with Jesus Christ. We need something that's going to really change who we are, not make us feel better, not make us look better, but really change who we are. Oh, I feel him in this house. The anointing is the yoke-destroying, burden-removing power of God. Can I say that one more time? The anointing is the yoke-destroying, burden-removing power of God. And there's one other thing I left out. The anointing frees you from tradition. There's some traditions that we've been bound to we need to break loose from. I know that's not popular, but I want everybody in this room to hear me. There's some traditions that we personally and even as a church have been bound to that we need to break free from and we need to get loose from. Why? Because it has bound us up many times to the place that we can't get free in the Spirit of God. We can't get at liberty in the presence of God. But let me just stop and tell you, if there's anything about your life that's keeping you from getting free in the Spirit, if there's anything about you that's keeping you from getting where you need to be with God, you need to get rid of it, and you need to walk away from it. Without the anointing, we will not have liberty. Without the anointing of God, we will not have liberty. Zechariah 4 and 6 tells us that it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. It's not by might nor by power, but it's by His Spirit. In other words, it's not what we can do or how we can do it. It only comes by the Spirit of the Lord. And we must understand that there's a fresh anointing for every new day that we wake up. And we have to tell ourselves, like David said, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. I shall be anointed with a fresh anointing. You have to tell yourself that every single day. Let me tell you why. Because the devil brings a new battle every day. A new trial comes every day. A new valley comes every day. A new fight comes every day. But with a new anointing, you can make it through every opposition. And if you're trying to operate, I want to just say this to you. If you're trying to operate on yesterday's anointing, guess what? It's dead, it's gone, it's buried. Yesterday's anointing ain't happening anymore. There's no life left in it. There's no power in it. It was good for yesterday, but today we need a fresh anointing. Today we need a renewed infilling of the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. Today we need a renewed fire in our soul. Today. We need God to do something fresh. Today, we need God to do something new. And with a fresh anointing, with a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit, comes new passion, new zeal for God, new spiritual hunger, new commitment. And can I just say this to you? If that's missing in your life, you got to make up your mind you're going to get it back. You have to determine. I can't determine it. You have to determine that you're going to get it back. You got to tell yourself and you got to tell God, I want it back. Let me say this before we pray, and I want to make it very clear. This morning, we are not going down to the enemy's camp and taking back what he stole from us. Let me tell you why. The devil cannot steal your anointing. You need to get that. Oh, I love the old song, going down the enemy's camp. I love it. But we're not going to the enemy's camp today. Because he can't take your anointing. If your anointing's gone, you gave it up. If your anointing's gone, you released it. If your anointing's gone, you allowed it to happen. I know that's tough, but it's real. Nobody took it from you. Nobody can take your anointing. Nobody can take your authority. Nobody can take your power. Let's just get real. Nobody can take your walk with God. You release that. You release that. But I say this to every person in this room. If you've surrendered your anointing, you've laid it down, you put it to the side, if you've allowed the anointing to become dormant, if you've underestimated your anointing and you thought you could get by without it, but you want it back, stand to your feet all across this room. Come on. The Holy Spirit is in this room in a very powerful way right now. The anointing and the authority and the unction of the Spirit of God is very clear in this house. There are people who got saved in the very beginning of this service. You gave your heart to Jesus in the very beginning of this service. But I'm speaking to some people right now who are struggling. Because you've one time been to a place with God that you knew was so real, nothing could make you doubt it. But you're standing in a place right now, you don't even know what to believe about yourself anymore. I'm talking to some people. You don't really even know what's going on in your life spiritually right now. Things are so foggy. You feel so distant. Let's just get real. You feel weird because you know what it's like to walk with God. You know what it's like to have such an authority, such power, that when you spoke the word under His anointing, things happened. But maybe you've laid it down. Maybe you've laid it aside. Now let me go one step further, and I'm going to call the church to the altar. I was only speaking to some in that moment, but I speak to everybody in this house right now. If you want your passion back, listen to me. If you want your fire back, you want your freedom back, your liberty, your joy, your power, your authority, you want the supernatural back, you want the glory of God back, I want you to step out of your seat, come down toward the front of this room quickly, all over this house.